I've entitled it Right Responses and Reactions. I've said this many times, and it bears repeating. A lot of times we cannot control what happens in the sense of what comes against us. We can't control sometimes the trials, the tribulations, the storms of life. Sometimes they come very unexpectedly. Sometimes they come from maybe unlikely places. And so in reality, there's a lot that comes against us, or a lot that we have to deal with that we really, in a large sense of the word, we didn't cause it, or it just happened, or we didn't expect it to come. And so it's not like we can control a lot of what comes against us. But what we can control is how we respond. How we react to what happens. For instance, if something is done against me, or something happens that I become made aware of, maybe something happens in my life, maybe something happens in my family, whatever the situation may be, it may be something that I could have never controlled or I couldn't have prevented, but it just happened. And now it's up to me as to whether or not I'm going to properly respond to what has happened. Am I going to react in a way that is, first and foremost, is it biblical? Is it right in the way that I'm reacting? Because if I respond or react incorrectly, many times that makes the matters worse. It further complicates the issue. It further confuses what needs to take place. And so in all of our lives, in all of us who are endeavoring to live a life that is pleasing unto God, we are going to have storms. We're going to have situations. We're going to have circumstances which come against us. Now, some of them, let's just be honest, some of them are of our own doing. Sometimes we bring things upon ourselves. But when it comes to whether or not we bring it upon ourselves, whether it's a trial from God, whether it's a trespass from someone else, whether it's a temptation from the enemy, whatever the situation is, what really matters is my reaction or my response to what has taken place, is that right? Because that's where I want to draw our attention, our focus. And tonight's going to be kind of a general overview of what I want to cover in the midst of this series, in the midst of these lessons. But lesson one, if you will, is tonight, and it's simply entitled Surviving the Storms of Life. How do we survive those storms? How do we come through on the other end? And hopefully not just survive, how do we use it as a way to thrive more in our walk in relationship with God? How do we use those things? How do we allow God to use those trials, those tribulations, those troubles, those trespasses, all those things that happen in our lives? How do we use those to not only survive, but thrive in our living for God? Because quite frankly, there's a lot of people who have allowed little things to become very big things in their walk and relationship with God. And maybe it was a little offense, or maybe it was just a little something, but because they responded incorrectly, or because they responded without the right reaction, it caused further hurt and further damage. And so tonight and through the course of this study, this is what I want to talk about. What are the right responses? What are the right reactions? When stuff like this happens, how do we respond so that we know, first and foremost, that not only am I going to survive this, but I'm going to come through it, and when he's tried me, I'm going to come forth as gold. I'm going to be able to come out on the other end, look back and say, because of that, I'm stronger. Because of that, I'm better. Because of that storm in my life, now, because I realize I'm able to come through it. I realize if I respond in the right way, then on the other side of that storm, I'm better because of it. And so that's what we're going to talk about. The subject of the study here is simply this: how to properly respond and react to the storms in life. As with a storm in the natural, numerous elements exist creating the inclement conditions, and our survival depends upon our proper responses. There, just as a natural storm, there are numerous elements in a natural storm that cause high pressure, low pressure, all these different things which happen in the atmosphere, which causes inclement weather or causes a storm. It's the same way in the spirit. The Bible says we understand spiritual things by natural things, and vice versa. So we understand that in a natural storm, there are many times numerous elements which come together and create that storm. It's the same way in the spirit. There are many times numerous things which converge and come together, and I find myself in the midst of a storm. I find myself in the midst of a tribulation. I find myself in the midst of a circumstance which maybe I had nothing to do. It was just part of life. It was just something that happened, and now I have to properly respond. Now my reaction has to be right, and my response has to be right if I'm going to survive this, if I'm going to come out on the other side. In order to respond correctly, here's the thing. In order to respond correctly, we must understand the origin and the elements of the storm. Because if I'm wrong about how the storm has arisen, if I'm wrong about what the elements are in the storm, many times my response will be improper. My response will not be correct. And so I need to know, where's this storm coming from? How is it? What elements are involved in this storm? And how can I react and respond to those elements that is going to create solidarity, is going to create not only surviving, but thriving through the midst of this? This is a quote we have. It's in our dining room. It's hanging up on a plaque or one of those little wall decorations, Kirkland things that my wife loves so much. But I love the quote. And it simply says, life is not about waiting for the storm to pass. It is about learning to dance in the rain. Because we're all going to have storms. And God doesn't intend for us to just huddle down and cower in the corner until the storm passes. Many times those storms are brought into our life, sometimes by God himself, so that we can learn from it. So that we can be better as a result of it. And so the reality is, if we're going to have storms, and we know that we will, instead of just sitting around waiting for the storm to pass, we learn to dance in the rain. We learn how to make the best out of a bad situation. What does it say? When life hands you lemons, make lemonade. The premise is this. We're going to have the storms. We're going to have the circumstances. We're going to have the situations. But I want to know how to properly respond. I want to know how to react to those storms, those elements of the storm, so that I can come through on the other end and look back and say, I'm better because of it. Let's look at the focus verse. It's found in, I've quoted this verse numerous times. It's in the book of John, surprise. John 16:33. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. First thing he says, listen, you need to understand that your peace is in me. In me, you might have peace. Why? Because in the world, you shall have tribulation. The root word there means pressure. In this world, you're going to have storms. In this world, you're going to have difficulties. In this world, you're going to have offenses. In this world, how many of you that have been living for God any length of time have not been offended by anybody at any time, even people of the house of God? That's what I thought. Because it happens. It's a part of life. In this world ye shall have tribulation. You're gonna have storms. You're gonna have issues. But first of all, I need to understand that in him is my peace. Even in the midst of the storm, I need to understand where the peace is gonna come from. Where I'm going to be able to survive, where I'm able to find shelter and understanding, where I'm going to be able to weather the storm. It's only going to be in him. And it's only going to be in responding the way that he says we should respond and reacting the way that we should react. Because guess what? He's overcome the world. He's already weathered every storm. He's already dealt with every offense. He's already dealt with every temptation. If anybody was ever tried, Jesus was tried. If anybody was ever tempted, Jesus was tempted. If anybody ever had to deal with trouble and troubling circumstances, Jesus dealt with them. He said, fear not, for I have overcome the world. In other words, you need to understand that the reason why there's peace in me is because I've overcome the world. Because I've already responded and reacted correctly to every storm, every situation, and every issue. I've responded correctly. Now, let's talk about this a little more. Storms and tribulations. Jonah was in a storm as he was out of the will of God. God told him, no, Nineveh, go to Nineveh and preach, and he decided he wouldn't do so. So he got in a boat, went to sail away from Nineveh. Guess what happened? Storm arose. Jonah was in the midst of a storm and he was out of the will of God. He wasn't following the will of God. He wasn't doing the will of God. And he found himself in the midst of the storm. Paul was in a storm, as others around him were out of the will of God, yet he was in the will of God. He was doing what God had told him to do. The others around him were out of the will of God, but yet, guess what? Paul was in a storm. And the disciples were all in a storm, and they were all in the will of God. Jesus said, get into the ship and go into the other side. They were doing the will of God, but every single one of them were in a storm. Wait, what are you trying to say? What are you trying to point out here? It's not about the will of God or not the will of God in the sense of whether or not I'm going to weather a storm or have a storm in my life. I'm going to have storms. Even people who are not serving God are going to have storms in their life. They're going to be offended. They're going to deal with issues. However, the hope and prayer is that the people that are of the household of faith, people that are serving God, they know there's going to be storms. How do I respond correctly? How do I react correctly to those storms? Because guess what? In the will of God, out of the will of God, others in the will of God, others, storms happen. And so we're going to experience those things. We're going to experience those storms, those tribulations. So here's the question. The question is not whether or not I will experience storms and tribulations. That's not the question. I will. You will. You have, maybe are presently, and guess what? If the Lord tarries, you will in the future. That's not the question. The question is not whether or not I will have storms and tribulations in my life. Not the question. The question is, will I rightly respond and correctly react to the storm? That's the true question, because storms are coming. Storms are going to happen. So how do I respond correctly to the storm? How do I do what is essential to surviving the storm, weathering the wind? How do I do it? Look at what Jesus said to the disciples. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. Folks, you ain't going to avoid offenses. It is going to happen. Jesus said, but it is impossible that offenses will come. Can I say it another way? Jesus said, offenses are going to happen. It's going to happen. Look what he said. But woe unto him through whom they come. Now, he makes a differentiation here. He says, everybody's going to experience offenses. It's impossible to go through life without offenses. Everybody is going to experience offensive. It's going to happen. But he throws a caution out here. He says, but woe unto them. Woe unto them, essentially, who facilitate the offenses, through whom they come. Woe unto that person who is the originator of the offense. Woe unto that person who starts the inclement conditions which create the storm. Woe unto that person. Maybe like this. Furthermore, it's better to be a recipient of the offense. It's better to be the offended rather than the facilitator of the offense, the offender. It's better to be offended than it is to offend someone. Jesus said, in reference to the little ones, and I don't think he was just referring to children. I think he was referring to even those who are new in the faith. He said, listen, it's better for you that a millstone be hung around your neck and you're cast into the midst of the sea that you would offend these little ones. Woe unto them whom through they come. In other words, it's better that you would be offended rather than you offend someone. It's better. Storms are going to come and offenses are going to come, but don't let yourself be the channel. Don't let yourself be the facilitator of the offense. It's going to happen. You're going to be offended, but don't facilitate the offense. Storms, tribulation, offenses, they are unavoidable. And while we cannot control their coming, we can avoid a wrong outcome. That's the key. We can't avoid their coming. But we can avoid an incorrect outcome. We can avoid allowing that storm to shipwreck our faith. We can avoid allowing that storm to cause us to react and respond incorrectly so that we make matters worse and so that we may create a storm in someone else's life and then through us so other offenses may come. Let's think about this. Somebody give me a weather factor. Anybody give me a weather factor? Cold? Anybody else? Wind? Anybody else? Snow? Sleet? Humidity? Partly cloudy? Clouds? Wait, what's one thing that when you go outside and you see in the sky, you kind of know something's happening? Lightning? Thunder rolling? Dark clouds moving in? Fog? All these different things. Well, obviously there are many different what we would consider weather conditions or weather factors, but we're going to talk about just a few. We got rain, we got lightning, we've got even the sun, if you will, and clouds. But here's the weather factors in the sense of the Spirit. Me, God, others, and the adversary. These are factors when it comes to our spiritual weather and the spiritual storms which may arise in our life. Me, God, others, the adversary. Now, it's understandable that as in a natural storm, there are multiple factors at play. There are multiple things happening when you have inclement weather. High pressure, low pressure, high winds, rain, sleet, snow, all the different things that we understand and know that are a part of the weather system. When it comes to you and I, when it comes to our spiritual life, if you will, when it comes to the storms which arise in our life, it's me, it's God, it's others, and it's the adversary. Those things, if you will, all contribute. Sometimes the storms come from God. I'll show you that. Or they're allowed by God. What's the greatest example of that in the scripture? Job. The trial. Called the trial of your faith. It's a trial. So we're going to talk about these different things, these different factors, and how they contribute. How they, if you will, come together in creating spiritual storms and creating things that hopefully we learn how to properly react and respond to those. Here are the main elements. Number one, trials. Everybody loves trials. And bring me some more trials, Lord. I love them trials. Things are good. How many of you welcome trials in your life? No? Huh? What's that? How many of you welcome spiritual trials in your life? Maybe a little more specific. How about temptations? The Bible says every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And that man doesn't just mean male. Mankind, everyone is tempted when they're drawn away of their own lust and enticed. So you have trials, you have temptations, trespasses. We're going to talk about these, how they relate. And then troubles. Trials, temptations, trespasses, troubles. Four T's. How do I respond? How do I properly react to these trials, temptations, these troubles, these trespasses? How do I respond to them? How do I make sure my reaction and my response to these things are correct? Well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about a trial. What is a trial, essentially? Well, a trial is from God or allowed by God, and it's intended to draw us closer to Him. Now, how many of you welcome trials in your life? Well, wait a second. The intent is to draw us closer to God. How many of you want to be drawn closer to God? It's amazing how when you rephrase the question, you have much more participation. I want to draw closer to God. Okay, that takes trials. Count me out. Who wants to have a greater walking relationship with God? Me. Well, that means there's going to be a trial of your faith. Probably going to have to be some sacrifice. There's probably going to be loss of something. I was kidding. I was stretching. Hey, reality, folks. Trials are from God or allowed by God to draw us. They're intended to draw us closer to Him. But guess what? Whether or not that happens depends upon our reaction. Whether or not we respond correctly to the trial that we're in. Because the Bible says it's a trial of our faith. And so whether or not we respond in faith and understand, wait a second, maybe this thing isn't something I brought upon myself. Maybe this thing isn't some trespass that happened as a result of somebody else. Maybe this thing is simply a trial from God. And God's trying to get me to learn something. God's trying to get me to wise up. God's trying to get me to realize that there's something bigger coming down the road. And I better pass this test. So I'll welcome this trial and say, Lord, if it draws me closer to you, help me respond correctly. Help me react correctly to the trial. Temptations, they're from the adversary, working upon our own carnality and our own lust. And guess what? They're intended to draw us away from God. One thing you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt, because the Bible lets us know very succinctly, you cannot be tempted by God. God does not tempt any man. Temptations never will come from God. They come from the adversary. Trials come from God, but temptations do not. But see, I can't respond to a temptation the same way I respond to a trial. That's the kind of stuff we're going to talk about in the midst of this study. How? If I recognize this is a temptation, what do I do? What's the proper response? If I recognize it as a trial, what's the proper response? How do I react correctly? How do I respond correctly? Because I don't want to respond incorrectly. That makes matters worse. So temptations are from the adversary and they're intended to draw us away from God. How many of you like temptations? No? Y'all know there's a hook here, don't you? Some of y'all are giggling. If you like temptations, raise your hand. How many of you like joy? Joy. You like joy? Like joy? Okay, let's try this again. Everybody have to participate. You got to pick one or the other. How many of you like temptations? How many of you like joy? Well, the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Man, again. Why? Because even God can use something that the adversary attempts to draw us away from God. Even God can use that for His glory to draw us closer to God. But whether or not that happens, whether or not I am tempted and I'm drawn away from God, depends upon my reaction to the temptation. Because everybody's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. But yet, my response will either be correct or incorrect. And if my response is incorrect, guess what? Then lust is conceived. And lust, when it's finished, bringeth forth what? Death is not drawing closer to God. No, that's an understatement. But guess what? It all has to do with my response, because guess what? Trials are going to come. Temptations are going to come. So are trespasses. Oh. Trespasses are from others towards us, or from us towards others, or against God. I trespass against someone else, or someone else trespasses against me, or I trespass against God. From a legal standpoint, trespassing is simply crossing a boundary that you are not supposed to cross. You are trespassing. If there is a no trespassing sign on a tree and I decide to go past that sign, guess what? I have just trespassed. I have gone over the boundary. And so trespasses occur when we go beyond the boundary and we trespass against someone or we trespass against God. But the trespass that we're most familiar with is the one that's done against us. When so-and-so has trespassed against me, when so-and-so has offended me, when so-and-so has said something against me, when so now I'm offended and now I have been trespassed against. And I had a no trespassing sign there and you crossed the line. You've trespassed against me. Guess what? There's a proper response for that. And the response for a trespass is not the same response as a temptation. And the response for a trespass is not the same response for a trial. It's different. That's why I've got to know, how do I respond to that? What's the proper thing to do? When I have trespassed or someone has trespassed against me, what do I do? What's the right way to go about it? And then finally, troubles. From me, upon me. Things that I bring upon myself as a result of my own wrongdoing. Man, everybody got quiet on that one. Troubles are what we bring upon ourselves. Troubles are things that happen because of our own wrong choices and our own wrong decisions. It is. Man, devil got in my car this week. No, he didn't. He doesn't care about your car. You hadn't had that maintained in 2 years. That ain't his fault. That's your fault. That's trouble.
Well, it's trouble. Yeah, devil's just been with.
No, sometimes you give the devil too much credit. Sometimes it ain't the devil at all. He sits back and smiles and says, that thing is me. I didn't have anything to do with that. They brought it upon themselves. We give him credit for stuff he ain't even done.
Oh, devil caused me to get fired from my job.
No, you're being late every day and not responding, not doing what you should. That got you fired from your job. The devil didn't get you fired from your job. He didn't want to type and answer phones. He didn't care anything about that. Devil didn't do that. You did it. Troubles are sometimes what we bring upon ourselves.
The Lord never put on me anything more than I can bear.
Out of context, you don't know. What about all the stuff you put upon yourself? And you want to blame it on other people or blame it on God or blame it on the devil? Uh-uh. Look in the mirror and realize, maybe I messed up. Maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I did something wrong. Maybe there's a trouble here that I brought upon myself. But guess what? The response to that trouble is different than a response to a temptation. And the response to that trouble is different than a response to a trial. Here's the thing. Just as the natural storms are a mixture of numerous elements, wind, rain, lightning, hail, etc., so are the spiritual storms made up of a different mixture of elements, trials, temptations, trespasses, and troubles. But catch this. God may have me in a trial wherein the adversary attempts me to trespass, wherein I can bring about trouble. Say what? Let me say that again. God may have me in a trial. God may be testing me. God may be trying me. And in that moment or in that trial, the devil, the adversary, comes up and decides to tempt me. Wait a second. Two different elements at work here. God's trying me, but now the adversary's tempting me. And guess what he's tempting me to do? He's tempting me to trespass. He's tempting me to go beyond the boundaries, even whether it be against God or against man. That's why Jesus said, all the law is fulfilled in this. Shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. In other words, don't trespass him. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Don't trespass them. See, the temptations come from the devil trying to get us to trespass. Sometimes those temptations come in the form of somebody else trespassing against me. And the temptation is to respond incorrectly. And if I don't recognize it for what it is, and I don't realize it, that is a tool of the enemy, that the enemy is using somebody to trespass against me, I got to respond correctly. Because guess what? When it's just a temptation from the devil, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But guess what? Unless I decide to stay out of church, I can't run from my brother and my sister. Hello. Doesn't work the same way. But what I can do is I can resist the temptation to respond incorrectly to my brother or sister and respond correctly in love and forgiveness and forgive men their trespasses, and so shall my heavenly Father forgive me my trespasses. And so if I do it correctly, the outcome is I'm thriving now in my walk in relationship with God, because the enemy tries to use people to trespass against me, but guess what? I've already conquered that. I've already overcome that. Therefore, the key is to correctly identify the elements and properly respond as to not bring about more elements, making the storm worse. Because this is what happens many times. Sometimes I'm in the midst of the trial, and the enemy comes, the adversary comes, and he tempts me. And in that temptation, I fall prey, and I trespass. And as a result of that trespass, now I'm dealing with a bunch of trouble. The devil made me do it. He didn't make you do it. He offered the opportunity. He can't make you do anything. You have free will. He offered you the opportunity, and guess what? You responded incorrectly. And because you responded incorrectly, now you've trespassed. And now that you've trespassed, unless you right that wrong, you're going to be in trouble. Oh, dear Lord, this is dire. What shall we do? The key is you got to respond correctly. You got to realize, you got to have a spiritual discernment to realize, wait a second, my brother loves me. I'm not going to believe that that came from him. So-and-so, I know them better than that. You got to have faith that goes beyond. Say, I'm going to reach out to them. Forgive. Wait a second. I know that's the enemy trying to get me to do that. That's the enemy tempting me to do that. Our story of a lady who had never, ever in her life put a cigarette to her lips. But she distinctly remembers one day seeing a open but not completed pack of cigarettes on the sidewalk. And she immediately felt a temptation to pick up the pack of cigarettes. She thought to herself, why am I tempted to pick up a pack of cigarettes? I've never put one to my lips. Now, there was nobody on the corner saying, hey, grab that. No, it was something from the enemy that just came. It was a temptation. It was an opportunity to trespass. It was an opportunity to do something that she knows she shouldn't do. But guess what? She recognized it for what it was. That's a temptation. That's silly. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. There's a proper response to a temptation. Do you know that there is only one response? And we'll get into this in detail. Do you know that there is only one response to sexual temptation? You know what it is? Flee it. Run away from it. You can't handle it. You can't pray your way through it. What? Flee it. You got to get away from it. See, that's where understanding comes in. That's where understanding the Word of God, so that my response is proper. That's why sometimes there's such a mess in marriages, because all of a sudden the temptation is there. But they don't flee it, and they stay around it, and they spend time with it, and they foster it. And before long, it's no wonder they've fallen, because they didn't run from it in the first place. Oh, I prayed about it. I fasted about it. No, that's not the proper response. The proper response is get away from it. Get it out of your life. Don't even put it in your peripheral. Get away from it. Flee it. There's a proper response for it. Right responses and reactions. Certain elements require certain responses, for we cannot respond to a temptation the same way we respond to a trespass. And we cannot respond to a trial the same way we respond to a self-induced trouble. There's different reactions. There's different responses to different elements. Therefore, a storm with multiple elements will require multiple responses. It should be responses. Trouble, I calls myself. in order to correctly react and survive the storm. Because in the midst of that storm, there can be a trial and a temptation and a trespass and trouble. And so I got to respond to them individually and correctly in the way the Bible says respond. Because just getting one of the three doesn't make the grade. Just responding properly to the trespass isn't going to deal with the temptation. Many have lost their way and been swept away in the storm simply because they did not counteract the elements with the right responses. That's key. That's key. They didn't counteract. Well, so-and-so offended me and I prayed about it and I just, no. Listen, there's a proper response to that. There's a biblical way to go about that. It's good that you pray about it, but that's not all you need to do. There's something you need to do when there's an offense and when there's a trespass. There's something that needs to happen in that situation in order for it to be biblically rectified. So I've got to respond correctly. And when we don't, it doesn't matter. Listen to me. When we say, well, I've prayed about it. Listen, if we're not doing it the right way, it's not going to be the proper response. And if the proper response is not there, it's not going to correctly counteract the problem. So, in summary, this is what we're going to talk about. The purpose of this study will be aid us in correctly discerning what elements exist in the storm and how to correctly respond in order to not only survive through it, but to thrive in the outcome of it. That's the thing. I'm going to take what the enemy used for evil and I'm going to allow God to use it for good. To save many people. To help many people. Because when I come through that storm, guess what? I hope that God gives me enough spiritual discernment to notice when somebody else is going through a similar storm and say, hey, let me give you a testimony of how I came through it. Because the Bible says we are made overcomers by the blood and the word of our testimony. So let me tell you how I survived that storm. Let me tell you what the proper response and reaction to that is. I know how to go about it. You want to know why? You want to know one of the reasons why? It takes a lot to offend me. I'm not saying I can't be offended. It takes a lot to offend me. Because early on in my ministry, God allowed a great offense to come to me. And the way I responded to it, and the way I reacted to it, I found in the Word of God, and I found in prayer, and I acted upon it. Because when this individual stabbed me in the back, when this individual began to say all things against me, somebody who I thought was one of my best friends, a good person I thought, with good intentions I thought, and then I find out that all this is happening, the Nate part of me, the me part of me, the one that would have caused a lot of trouble, wanted to go to the dude, get up in his face and say, what is your problem? What in the world are you doing? Have you lost your mind? That's what the me part wanted to do. But you know what God said? God said, you go to him and you throw your arms around him. You say, I love you. And if I've ever done anything to offend you, I ask your forgiveness. And I said, really, God? Really? That's what you want me to do? That's how you want me to respond to this situation? I didn't do anything wrong. He's the one saying stuff about, I haven't said anything about him. He's the one saying stuff about me. He's the one that stabbed me in the back. What do you want me? You want me to pull the knife out of my own back and go hand it to him and say, hey, I'm sorry if I've ever even shown this to you. It's his knife and he put it in my back. God said, yep, that's what I want you to do. And he said, uh-uh, ain't doing it. Ain't going to happen. But as I begin to pray, God said, if you're going to get victory over this, that's what you got to do. You got to respond to this correctly. And guess what? When I did, there was such a release. It was like weights were lifted off my back. To this day, I don't know if he's ever righted it. It doesn't matter to me. He's never called and asked my forgiveness. It doesn't matter to me. Forgiveness is not for him. Forgiveness was for me. I'm able to move on. Why? Because I weathered the storm and I responded with the right response. Now, I'm not here trying to say I responded right. I don't respond correctly every time. There's sometimes that my humanity creeps up and I respond incorrectly and it causes me trouble. How many of you have responded correctly? Correctly, every time. Some of y'all are like, woo-hoo! We're human, we make mistakes. But there is someone who has responded correctly every time. And that's where our peace comes from. That's where our help comes from. He's overcome the world. Study, prayer, teaching, fasting, counsel, preaching, etc. They all serve to help us implement right responses and reactions to whatever the storm may bring. That's why we need teaching. That's why we need the Bible. That's why we need study and prayer. Because many times people are offended or something happens in their life or a tragedy happens and they shut up. They just clam up. And not praying anymore. But sometimes the reverse happens. Sometimes the trial comes and it causes them to find a prayer life. It causes them to find a place on their knees. And it causes them to find the source of their help and the source of their strength to get through the tragedy, to get through the circumstance. But see, it's all a part of God's recipe for good. It's all how God helps us be who He wants us to be and conforms us to the image of His Son. The one who had all the right responses and all the right reactions all the time. Let's stand. So during the course of the study, that's what we're going to do. We're going to do a deep dive into these different areas. How do we respond to a trial? What's the correct way to respond to a trial? How do we go about knowing and understanding that this is a trial from God, that this is something that God has brought into my life? Because the amazing thing is many times we, I won't say unwittingly, but without complete understanding of what we're asking, we're asking for trials. No, not me. Yeah. When I'm, God, make me more like you. God. Psalmist said, search me, O Lord. See if there be any wicked way in me. Sometimes the only way God can reveal wicked ways is in the midst of a trial. And so when we're asking, God, help me be more like you. God, help me draw closer to you. Help me to have a greater walk in relationship with you. What we're saying is, God, bring me some trials. What? That's what we're saying. And the sad part is that some people that pray that prayer, and then when God brings the trial, and it's intended to draw closer, for us to draw closer to Him, because they respond incorrectly to that trial, they don't draw closer to God. Sometimes they draw away from God. Because it's all in the right response. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for your word, which teaches us, which helps us understand, God. Lord, to notice, to be able to spiritually discern those things, God, which come against us, to know the storms in life, for we all will experience them. Lord, we all will have to deal with trials and temptations, Lord, and troubles, God. We will all deal with those different things that come against us, Lord. And I pray that you would help us open our hearts, open our minds to receive your word, God. And when those things happen, when the offenses come, when the trespasses come, when people say things against us, Lord, that we would respond correctly as to not make matters worse. But Lord, we would look into your word and understand what is the correct way. How do we go about handling the storm, God, and survive it, and not only survive it, but come out on the other and thriving in you. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, we give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. God bless you for being in service. You are dismissed in Jesus' name.